just hear the voice, that's it, then you can forget it. See a face. Every time you see that face again, it reminds you. But secondly, private, confidential confession goes back to apostolic times. And what it does, it protects, in a good sense, protects the penitent from having to, well, identify him or herself, so that it provides the penitent with greater freedom. You can say things when you're not recognized that you'd rather not say when the priest knows who you are. Both confessions now are permissible by the Church, but I repeat, highly preferred are not face-to-face, but private confessions. Then, what is the difference between simple and solemn vows? I repeat, for the first 1500 years of the Church, there were no simple vows. In fact, the difference between solemn and simple vows was coined after religious congregations came into existence. All that I've said stands. One thing which I should emphasize, the Second Vatican Council wanted, and the Church wants, the restoration of that kind of consecrated life which existed before the 16th century. Some reasons. One reason is there are too many, who are getting dispensations from the final vows. There's growing instability in religious life. Secondly, the Church wants, and this is crucial, the Church wants, and your community is within, well, about 3 inches, of pronouncing what they call a solemn vow of poverty. The Church wants religious to own nothing. Am I clear? To own nothing. Nothing as individuals, and depending on the spirit of the community, started by Francis of Assisi, so that there is also no ownership of property by the community. I think I told you Ignatius of Loyola wanted dispossession by the community. But the Pope said no, because if somebody else owns your schools, they will then tell you what to teach. And sisters, that's exactly what's happening. I may have told you, I lived in Georgetown for 4 years at the university. Next door to my room was a Jesuit priest who, well, he was the one to raise money, a lobbyist for Georgetown University. I asked him one day, how much money do you have to raise each year from the government? I think I told you, $100 million a year. No wonder the president of Georgetown University and Jesuit priest and President William Clinton are close friends. However, the church wants at least the what we call the solemn vow of poverty for all religious, including congregations. And sisters, pray that your next chapter will do that. It's close, but not quite, so that you are absolutely penniless, really poor, when you take your final vows. Now, is this from one of the sisters?
Yes, those are heresies, Father.
Is this?
Those are heresies, Father.
Yes, but I mean, are they from the sisters?
Yeah.
Oh, can I read them?
It's long, Father, it's long. Do your class.
It's for your reading, Father.
Please?
It's for your reading.
Or for my own private reading.
For your okay. Summa, Father.
Please?
For the Summa.
Oh, for the Summa. Oh, this is good. Keep. Oh, this is wonderful.
You have yes. Another sheep in your room.
Our salvation consists of an intensely personal relationship with God, above all, in the ordering of our human will to this law. Therefore, it follows that nothing we can do for others, neither example nor prayer nor sacrifice, contributes to their salvation. At most, we can contribute to the sanctification of another person. That is nice, juicy heresy. Thank you. Sisters, please provide me with heresies. I need them under orders of the Holy See, because a summa must have a lot of heresies. And they can't be just wild theories, but that people have even put in writing. Share those with me, please. I'll pay for the postage. Now, sisters, I have three parts to share with you during our last two classes. This is great big for my poor eyes. The blessed virgin in the life of a priest. We won't spend too much time on this because we've covered some of the issues, but just to put it together in capsule form. Jesus Christ instituted the priesthood at the Last Supper when he told the apostles, "Do this in commemoration of me." He was, of course, referring to what he himself had just done by changing bread and wine into his own living body and blood. God became man to die for us on the cross. But he also became man to live among us in the Holy Eucharist and sacrifice, communion, and real presence. Sisters, the incarnation exists in order that we might have the Eucharist.